Hello, folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is Monday, 14 November 2022. You're listening to Financial Survival, and I'm still waiting for Melody to connect with us today. I hope she joins us soon because I didn't have anything prepared for markets or metals or anything because I thought she was going to join us. Hopefully she
will
a little
here.
There she is. That just like a woman, got to be late, keep you in suspense. I shouldn't have known that.
Well,
welcome to your program.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. Did you give the... And I didn't accidentally turn off the computer. No.
Did you give the date?
Did you give the date today?
I did. I said everything. Said welcome to the Financial Survival and to give them the date. And welcome back. I said you'll be here in a little bit, hopefully. And there you are.
All righty. Well,
good to
I
have
guess
you.
That's, well, thank
Glad
you.
Glad you could join us.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. I appreciate you allowing me. Yes.
All right, go ahead.
How about if we go to the gold and silver markets today? How about
Sounds
that?
Good.
Should we
Sounds
go there?
Good.
All right. Well, today in the New York spot price aftermarket, we have gold today up a dollar at $17.73. Silver was up 29 cents. Now we're at $22.09. How about that? Platinum was down $10 at $1,027, and palladium was down 22 at 2,110. And the USDX today was up also 0.34 at 106.76. Crude oil took a beating today. I'll double check this number, but it shows it was down 3.67 at 85.29. Looks like the Dow shed about 200 points, 211 at 33,536. The S&P was down 35 at 3,957. The NASDAQ was down 127 at 11,196. Europe overnight was positive. Well, they weren't up. I don't think any of them was up over 1%. And the Asian market was negative. Not quite sure. The Shanghai was down just a couple points. Didn't know if that would have any impact from the meeting Biden had today with Xi. 10-year yield, 3.87, still below 4. And natural gas, 6.03, up almost 3%. So, you know, it's a lot of talks or a lot of the news today. You know, Bitcoin is holding above 16,000 following the FTX fallout. We're still waiting to see how that's going to, what type of contagion that might have into other areas. A lot of layoffs. We're going to be talking about those later on in the program. It was, you know, just a kind of a typical type of a Monday. I don't think there was anything really spectacular in any one thing. You have the IMF. They're saying the global economic outlook is getting gloomier, Butch.
No duh.
I know. I know. That's what I keep saying. These people get paid how much? They're big college educations to all these Ivy League universities. And, you know, they come out and say, gee whiz, it looks gloomier than projected last month. But that's where they're continue to support at least what we say. Who knows? Maybe they get their information from us. They'd probably be better off. Investors pumped record sums into leveraged ETFs. You know, so record sums and high risk. You know, whenever there's high risk, you usually don't do very well, because what happens is people just keep their money in there and they never leave, and then they end up losing it because it's a very volatile market. $28 billion into leveraged and inverse exchange traded funds in the first 9 months of the year. This was according to information from Morningstar Direct. 5.4% of all purchases of ETFs. That's more than double of 2021's full year tally. So I don't know, a lot of crazy things, and it just confirms, Butch, that it just shows how these markets, you know, they just are not functioning in a proper manner.
No, they're not. They're not. And it's still, I'm amazed how long they've been able to keep this, I don't know, these plates spinning for so long. Every now and then one tumbles a little bit, they manage to get it back up, and they, you know, I have to give them credit. They really have done an excellent job worldwide making everything look okay as far as markets. Behind the scenes, we know it's not okay. We're watching prices raise every day, so we know it's not okay. Economically, it's not okay, but on the market, it's okay. And of course, no one else stops considering maybe that those market's numbers are inflated, just like the dollar's inflated. Mm-hmm. The more the dollar inflates, the higher the markets go. I mean, go figure. You know, the more dollar inflates, the more tax you pay. What a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
So
really,
you get kicked in teeth both ways, don't you?
You do. And we stand up and wait for more.
Yeah, we do. We beg for it. Do it again. It felt so
please.
Good.
Please. Oh, yeah.
One more time. You know, don't worry.
We're
about
here
it.
For your pleasure.
That's it. Just beat on some more. It feels so good. Which side you want to whip next?
I don't know. Oh, it's just amazing how we paid for our own destruction, and we just willingly give them more and more and more and say, I'll work harder. I'll adjust my standard of living so I get
sure.
less. And
I'll let my children do it without an extra hamburger this time. They don't need it anyway.
Yeah, sure.
But don't worry about it. Trump set to officially launch 2024 comeback bid. I guess you may have saw this, but this, former U.S. President Donald Trump is expected to officially launch another White House bid on Tuesday. That's tomorrow. Refusing calls from within his own Republican Party to fade away after his loyalists underperformed this year's midterm elections. The 76-year-old billionaire, whose 2016 win shocked America and the world, has summoned the press to his Florida mansion for a very big announcement at 9 p.m. today. That's Eastern time, I guess. Tomorrow, Tuesday. President Trump is going to announce on Tuesday he's running for president. So one of his advisors, Jason Miller, who predicts the speech will be very professional, very buttoned up.
Well, sure.
That'll be a first for Trump. But anyway.
That'll be a first.
Known for his unpredictability, Trump could change his mind at the last minute. But for months, he has barely hidden his desire to vie for the presidency again in 2024. Delaying the announcement now, as some of his advisors have reportedly suggested to him, will be highly awkward for Trump because he has billed it as perhaps the most important, listen to this, the most important speech given in the history of USA. Now, that's a humble man.
Who said that?
Trump. It'll be the most important speech given in the history of the USA, perhaps the most important one.
Tomorrow
night, 9:00. So don't miss that. It's going to be one of the most, probably perhaps most important speech in the USA. But on the other hand, Mary Trump, his niece, Donald will burn everything down if Republicans turn their backs on him. Imagine that. Mary Trump predicted Sunday on MSNBC's Velshi that if her uncle, former President Donald Trump, were not the leader of the Republican Party, he would burn everything down. Anchor Ali Velshi said, What do you think happens here? Donald Trump wants to be relevant in the face of an election that has done something for him he never wanted. It has proved that he is potentially less relevant than he thinks he is. How do you square those things? You maintain that he remains the dangerousness in the Republican Party, by extension, the most dangerous person in America. Trump said Donald belongs. This is Mary Trump. Donald becomes his most dangerous when he fears loss of relevance, when he fears that he is no longer the center of attention. I think everybody should know that already. When he fears that he is no longer the one in control. She continued, we don't know just what kind of information he has on other people in this party. What we do know is he will be willing to use it. I believe we talked about this before the 2020 election. Donald will burn everything down if it feels like he's going down. We cannot discount that. We ignore him at our peril. Mary Trump said that is why the Republican Party's strategy of deciding to turn a different direction won't work. One, it won't work because he won't let them do it. Two, it shouldn't work because they're largely responsible for the state of the party and the dangers that this party continues to present to this country. So, okay. Wow.
Well, who am I to disagree with her, but I'm just going to, float this out there. Number one, he does control a lot of money. People donate to him, and he's got, what, $100 million or more in there in his?
Already in the, yeah.
Yeah, so that's not going to be going anywhere. You know, I don't know if the RNC has, fingers in that or not. You know, that's, But my question is, I mean, I do believe, and I know this is going to go against what so many of our listeners believe, and they'll probably tune us out after I say this, but I personally believe that Trump is still part of the program. He is still part of the agenda. I mean, he did have his first bailout loan through the Rothschilds Bank. His commerce secretary worked with the Rothschilds Bank, is the one who helped process his bankruptcy for money to get him out of that so many years ago. I believe they own you after that. And you end up doing their bidding. So
yes, you do.
With that in mind, he might have the goods on everyone, but will they allow him to use it? You can't tell me he didn't have more information on Hillary and some of these other people while he was in office. You just can't tell me that he didn't have that same information. And he never used it, that I recall. You know, just idle threats or just idle comments that most people didn't pay much attention to.
Hyped up the country for MAGA, Make America Great Again. Nobody could argue that. Hyped up with the chance, put her in jail, where it was, put her in jail.
Lock her up,
yeah. And people were chanting all the country. And then he was chanting with them like he's going to do something. He's going to build a wall. He's going to build a wall. And Mexico's going to pay for it. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Mexico's going to pay for it. And he had 2 years. He couldn't stop Trump Obamacare with both houses on his side. He couldn't stop it. So what did he do?
He couldn't even fix it.
No, he couldn't. He couldn't. So what?
He couldn't because it would have had to go through, it'd have to go through other channels. I mean, he didn't have the power to fix it. You know, and the Republicans, the House and the Senate, I mean, they're just a bunch of crybabies or whatever you want to call them. So whether he's going to use his knowledge of what he has with his people, I don't think he will, because I don't think those in charge, his puppets, his handlers, will allow him to do so.
I don't know, but Mary Trump, his niece said that, and his daughter-in-law said he would probably do something like that. I can't remember her name. But whatever it is, whatever, he's going to post now tomorrow night, he's going to run again. It will throw a wrench in the system. And I have to ask one of this too, Mel D.
Yeah, but the problem is he'll do it against Republicans instead of the Democrats.
That's what I'm saying.
Could
this be a planned scenario?
Maybe, yeah.
Cripple the election so no one has, the Republicans don't stand a chance. I'm not going to say when they cheat. I'm going to share an article in a minute from Maricopa County election judge says the machines are rigged. This is not from, this is a county election judge. But anyway, maybe this was another stolen election. I don't know. But he didn't do any good helping Biden during the midterms. Has he become that unpopular? I really don't know.
But the whole Republican group, they were designed to lose. I mean, look how some of them did their campaigns. It's like, you're not going to win. You're not going to overcome the Democrats. They're just so dumb.
Oh, well, both sides
dumb.
Are like,
they're either dumb or it's all by design.
I mean, look at what has been elected to office. And I'm Biden right on down. I don't care, Republican, Democrat. Overall, look what's been in office for years. And we're calling, us, call one side dumb and the other, Maybe so. But it'd be a toss-up which one has been the most destructive to the country for a long time.
Absolutely.
Both of them have destroyed it. Both sides have destroyed it. Now, folks, that's just a fact. If you live longer than 30, 40 years, you cannot tell me that either side did anything to improve this country in any way, financially, morally, any other way. And now Pelosi's crying about she wants to get some control of the budget. What? You're about $32 trillion too late, sweet pea. I mean, come on. I mean, this is ridiculous. And people still want to play the game, Melody.
I know.
I mean, it's like playing solitaire at the deck of 51. Remember the old song, Counting Flowers on the Wall? Many years ago, playing solitaire down at the deck of 51. That's what we're doing. You can't win it with the deck of 51. And we're lucky if they have that many today. So we're trying to fix a spiritual situation with a political political answer, and it isn't going to work. It isn't going to work. So there we go.
Well, you know, the headlines, you know, indictment watch on Trump, investigators, Department of Justice demands sworn affidavit, you know, I mean, they're going after him. But again, is that in order so he doesn't run? And everybody says, well, yeah, they're after him and so forth. Well, you know what? Maybe he really doesn't want to run. This is just, it's showmanship. It's a stage. And they're all players.
Sure is.
And so, personally, I don't think Trump wants to be president again. He likes the limelight. But, you know, if he actually did get to be president again, then all of these things go away. All of those investigations would go away again. And, you know, people get upset. And hey, I don't know what he did. I don't know what he had at Mar-a-Lago. Do I believe that they were at? Yeah, of course I do. But you know what? If it was anybody else, with the thought that maybe they took these papers and so forth, you know, out of, many of them do, and we always squawk. So how can we not squawk now about, you know, what was it that he had? And they should show us. They should, you know, they only show a little bit of it. But it is. It's just messed up, Butch.
Boy, that's an understatement of the year.
How's that one for a conclusion there?
That was really insightful.
Was that insightful? Well, thank you. That's why I get
okay.
The big bucks. Yeah.
Take us out the break. About a few seconds left.
Oh, my. It can't be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we promise we'll get to some news here during the second segment of the program, so stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. But hidden in my buddy's got me feeling like a jerk. $100 condo, $200 rent. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living, working for a living, working for a living, living and a working. I'm taking what they're giving, cause I'm working for a living. Oh, oh, oh.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. All things ain't what they used to be. Lots more radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are dying. Oh, mercy, 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 mercy. All things and what they
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And, well, Butch, I promised the listeners that we'd be heading into some news in this segment.
I hope you have some. Okay.
Ah, oh, gee. Well, I do.
I'm sure you do. You want to do yours first? Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Go. Okay. I'll let you go.
Okay. Now, folks, this is not my opinion. This is from Maricopa County Election Judge. Believes the machines were programmed to reject ballots on Election Day. Now, this is from Michelle Schwinnick. Was an election judge in Maricopa County on Election Day last week. Following the election, Michelle stepped forward to discuss what she experienced in Maricopa County Election Day. Michelle worked at a center in the heavily Republican district. According to Michelle, the tabulators worked perfectly well the night before the election. Then on Election Day, they quit working. Only 1/10 ballots were accepted through the tabulators. The officials were told to put the defective ballots into a different section called Door 3. Well, why were the ballots defective? I thought the machines were defective. But anyway, Michelle believes this was all planned. The election officials knew that Republicans were going to come out in force on Election Day, as they did in the primary. This was a planned operation. Now, for what it's worth, that is my opinion. That's one of the judges at the Election Day in Maricopa County, Arizona. I tend to agree, but I'm not going to say that's really what happened. I don't know that. But I tend to agree there's a lot of shenanigans going on. And Melody, when you lose your faith in the election system, where else do you turn? You know, when you see so much and so much corruption on both sides, but in this instance in Arizona, it looks like the machines were working fine the night before and didn't work the next day. And tell you put the defective ballots in a different box, what happens to them then?
So yeah, but Butch, it's only half of the population that think that there's a problem. The other half thinks everything's fine. They got what they wanted, so they're happy.
That's right.
They don't see it as an issue. And even though they might think that there could be some issues, they don't think it's ever enough to change the outcome. So why would they fix it? I mean, it's just amazing.
You know, I have a listener in Canada named Jeff, listens to your program, mine too. But he said in Canada, they still count them by hand.
Count
the ballots by hand. And they, you have to show ID before you vote. You have to show who you are, that you have to show ID. What is it about America that is so convoluted and so messed up today that we let them go by with this?
I don't know.
I mean, it's really sad. Canadians, now he said Canadians would not tolerate this, but we do. What's happened to this land that once had a moral backbone and said, listen, we want to be peaceful, but you're not going to shaft us this way. They do it all the time. Everybody just keeps on going and taking it. And the Bidenflation Thanksgiving bus. Prices soar for turkeys, potatoes, biscuits, butter, and gravy. Well, so what? They still control the Senate and maybe the House. Who cares? Everybody complains. Okay, what can you do about it? Putting the big bird on the table at Thanksgiving is going to cost a lot more this year. The price index that tracks turkey and non-chicken poultry is up 16.9%. The index that includes pies is up to 18.6%. Ice cream, 13.3%. Canned fruits, which include cranberry sauces, are up 18.7%. Fresh potatoes are up 15.6%. Rolled biscuits and muffins up 13.6%. Butter prices are up 26.7%. Salad dressing up 19.7%. Gravy and sauce prices are up 14.6%. Overall food and home prices are up 12.4%. Add all that together, Melody, that's a lot of increase. If turkeys alone all went up 17%, 16.9%, if that was all went up, the rest of it stayed the same, maybe bad, but it won't be overwhelmingly bad. All these went up between, those one on here, I think, is 13%, up to, no, 12%, up to 27%. So all those increases add up, and pretty soon your wallet, doesn't it?
It certainly does, and I saw an article this morning. It was out of the New York Post, where fed-up U.S. farmers tell why government will put them out of business, and they're actually, in this article, it talked about within the next few months, the United States is projected to import more agricultural products than it exports. I think that's happened a long time ago, but I think this is more of a, it's what the government is doing to these farmers. And we're getting so much coming in. Farmers all over New York and New Jersey say they are being pushed to those limits by Biden's attack on energy and Governor Hochul's labor betrayal, foreign competition, and other woes. And there was five different farmers who gave their problems. And it's like, yeah, we can't make a profit anymore. Every time we turn around, and, you know, with rising costs, with regulations and everything else, they're going out of business. They can't feed us anymore.
No, they can't. And at one time, and discussed many times, I remember when I grew up a young boy in the 50s and early 60s, we fed the world. That's no joke. And ourselves. And prices were fair. Not any longer. Listen to another program earlier today. A gentleman from Arkansas, I believe it was. No, Missouri. I can't remember. Missouri, Arkansas. His name was Joe. Called in. Do you know what the price of heating kerosene is where he lives in Missouri? I'm pretty sure it's Missouri. No, I'll take it back. It is Arkansas. Do you know how much his prices for kerosene is in Arkansas per gallon?
A lot.
Over $8 a gallon.
Wow.
Yes. So he started mixing three parts kerosene, one part diesel, and the stove burns fine on that, which is saving a little bit of money. But over $8 a gallon for kerosene for heat. Winter just starting. No matter how conservative you can be, that's a lot of money, Melody.
Wow.
So that was on the program called The Power Hour today, so that's where I heard that.
Yeah, and, you know, we're going to see these same types of things with this food. There was one farmer, he says he's fighting a losing battle against globalization and inflation. He's got a 350-acre wholesale tree fruit farm in New York. He says he used to be the largest grower of processing peaches in New York for fruit cocktail and diced peaches. But he says they lost that peach processing market to China. So they had to remove all that acreage. He says there was no home. There was no home for it. American fruit canneries across the U.S. have closed in recent years after China's low labor costs sent prices for imported canned fruit plummeting. He says he has a young peach orchard coming into production right now that was planted by for processing, and he says they're going to have to cut it down. And he says it takes 5 years of planning, planting, and nurturing before a young tree produces fruit.
That's true.
He says, where are we going to be in 5 years?
That's true.
You know, and that's just one of the farmers. And he talks about the apples this year. They just walked away from two different orchards. I mean, and you know what's also sad is here you have all of this possible fruit, and it's not feeding Americans because China can do it cheaper. It just doesn't even make sense.
No, it doesn't. But it's not supposed to.
Yeah. But you know what? That's one way of keeping our costs down. Bringing that crap in from China.
Is that something like exporting your debt? Yeah, but something along the same line. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Sure it is. So it works. Now it's going to, and now they can be pat themselves on the back and say, hey, you know?
It's amazing. It's sad. It's beyond sad. It's disgusting.
It's sad.
But, and what really concerns me is you and I, the adults, hey, it is what it is. But our children and grandchildren, what are we leaving them in this country that even resembles what we grew up with? What are we leaving them that even resembles what we grew up with? Nothing. Nothing looks the same since I was a child. Nothing. Family, schools, politics, nothing looks the same. They've totally undermined our nation's moral capabilities and foundations of common sense. They've done on purpose, a piece of time, really a little bit of time, so it won't hurt too bad. But the generation that followed me was maybe dumbed down a little more, went after that a little more, and then look at what we have today. This is a true story. A lady lives in Texas, is going to go and visit her cousin in Alaska. She thought she had to ride a ship, didn't think get there by land. Now think about that. That she thought Alaska was an island. This is the public school system today, Mildy. This young lady was in her 20s. She thought Alaska was an island. Is that kind of a sad scenario?
A little bit.
It's a little bit, yes. Here's some good news. Woke fail. Disney begins layoffs, hiring freeze, and limiting employee travel as stock crashes. It's been a bad week for the Walt Disney Company. First, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis won re-election a landslide victory on Tuesday. Then Disney's corporate earnings disappointed Wall Street, seeing its stock crashing to new lows. Now the entertainment giant reportedly planning layoffs, a targeted hiring freeze, and travel limitation on employees. Shares of Walt Disney Company plummeted late Tuesday and into early Wednesday to their lowest level in nearly a decade as concerns mount over the company's profitability and wild spending habits on Disney and other streaming services. In a letter to top company executives obtained by multiple news outlets, Disney CEO Bob Chapek said that austerity measures will be a difficult but necessary. I am fully aware that this will be a difficult process for many of you and your teams. We are going to have to make tough and uncomfortable decisions, but that is just what leadership requires, and I thank you in advance for stepping up during this important time. Disney has become woke. People are starting to see it, and they don't like it. And that's good news. If everybody hit the people that the corporations are behind this kind of wokeness in their wallets, they may change their mind. That seems the only thing they understand. They don't understand anything as far as the moral teachings or discussions. But they do understand the bottom line, don't they?
Yes.
So that was a quick answer. Now, that was insightful.
Was it the right one?
That was insightful. That was really insightful. Gosh.
It's Insightful Monday.
It's Insightful Monday. Okay. Twitter cuts a large number of contract workers without giving internal teams heads up.
The Isn't cancellation. That how you usually get laid off?
That's usually.
I never had warnings.
The cancellation of contractors' work would mark the latest reduction at a social media platform, which already laid off about half its employees. A large number of Twitter's contract workers discovered they were suddenly terminated over the weekend after they lost access to Slack and other work systems, according to the internal communications full-time Twitter employees shared with CNBC. Now listen to this. An estimated 4,400 of its 5,500 contract workers were cut, according to the tech news publication Platformer, which first reported the cuts. And CNBC has not confirmed this number, they said, but 4,400 out of 5,500 are going to be cut, apparently. That's huge. Some of Twitter's contract workers were based overseas in India, among other locations. Full-time employees who asked to remain unnamed because they were not authorized to speak on behalf of Twitter, so they had no internal notice before its contractors they were collaborating with were let go. So the tech companies are getting hammered. I don't know all the reasons behind that, Melody. Do you have anything that you'd like to suggest on that? That's why this is happening to all these tech companies?
Well, I just really don't follow them. But, I mean, it's, you know, it's, I mean, what do they do? You know, it's they were overpriced to begin with.
I agree.
You know, they just was, you know, it's just an industry that is, you know, you can blame China for the, you know, slowing of the chips and, you know, all this kind of stuff. I mean, you could point to various areas and so forth, but, you know, it's just like cryptos. You know, you get these markets, you get this ton of money going into it, and, you know, it's not real. It's not real valuations. They're made up. They're pie in the sky. They're not valued at the value that they're priced at. I mean, we talked about Amazon losing its first $1 trillion. It's like, okay, $1 trillion. It was the first corporation in American or world history to lose $1 trillion. Okay. People don't even know what $1 trillion is.
No, it means
nothing anymore.
Said that for a long time. Numbers are too big. We can't comprehend them, so they don't scare us.
Well, they don't mean anything because they're not real.
No, that's
they're digits.
Yeah.
They're just digits.
That's I was going to bring a question up. How do you overvalue or undervalue nothing? Air. Yeah. That's what it is, right?
It's just digits. It's just digits.
I mean, crypto.com withdrawals rise after CEO admits transaction problem. Concerned about the Singapore-based crypto.com spread, with digital currency traders on edge following the quick collapse of rival exchange FTX. So how do you value a computer key punch? I don't get that. Customers pulled funds from crypto.com over the weekend as the company's chief executive said the cryptocurrency exchange mishandled roughly $400 million transaction. Mm-hmm. Crypto.com chief executive Chris Marzalek said on Twitter that the transfer was sent to the wrong type of account or another exchange. The transfer of a large chunk of Ether, a popular cryptocurrency, took place on October 21st, but came to light after Twitter's users flagged the transfer as unusual based on publicly available blockchain transaction records. Concerns about Singapore-based crypto.com spread across the internet over the weekend, with prominent digital currency figures taking aim at the company. Cryptocurrency traders are on the edge following the quick collapse of FTX, which went from one of the most trusted exchanges to bankrupt in the course of a week. Wow. Crypto.com CEO Chris Marzalek admitted that a transfer was mishandled, but said the company processes have since been strengthened. Changping Zhao, of chief executive at Crypto.com's larger peer, Beyonce, appeared to question the nature of the transfer without naming the company, which may have fueled Sunday's withdrawals, according to crypto industry players. The exchange has to move large amounts of crypto before or after to demonstrate their wallet. Oh, it's break time. Gosh, that's stuck on them too. All right.
All right, we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. And, yes, we've been kind of all over the place today. And
yes.
I don't know where you want to head to
now. Well, I'm going to just read this last sentence, this article about Crypto.com. Mm-hmm. The value of Crypto.com's own cryptocurrency sank roughly 20% Sunday when the prior 24 hours it traded near 6 cents apiece. 6 cents apiece. I mean, how many have to buy to make any money at that? But, I mean, I'm looking at this and thinking, as you just said, how do you value nothing because it's on a computer? It's even worse than valuing fiat currency. At least you got a piece of paper in your hand and show somebody and say, this is to buy this with. I'm not at all up to snuff on technology. But how do you take Bitcoin in and pay something? Who, I mean, you just transfer nothing to nothing. Of course, when you do direct deposit, the same thing. You just transfer a blip on a computer, go to the bank, get some paper money, go pay your bills, or send another blip to somebody else. That's what it is.
Those cryptos was nothing but a scam. You know, just like the Iraqi dinar. And, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, and hey, Bitcoin and a lot of these cryptos, people did make a lot of money. But so often we get caught up in the promises that it's going to go higher, and then when it drops, oh, it's going to come back, and you hang on. The next thing you know, it goes the next level of low, the next level of low, and it ain't coming back. And because the fundamentals aren't there. There's no fundamentals to base it on. It's just other people's money. And, you know, it's a Ponzi scheme. And so the people in the know, they sell. They get their money. They make all kinds of millions of dollars on it. But, you know, they don't, it's the little guy where they make the most money on, so they want to keep you in there. The little guy is the most gullible. The little guy, you know, holds on to hope that, you know, his ship might come in on something where he might have paid, you know, a little bit of money for, and the next thing you know, he's going to be a multimillionaire. That doesn't happen. Maybe once in a while, enough to show as an example of what could happen, possible but not probable. But yet those are the folks who hang on and put more money into it and put more money into it, and they lose. And they end up with nothing or very close to nothing. And it is sad. And it's human nature. It's not like there's something wrong with these, but it's just human nature. And they figured it out. They know how they can manipulate you and us and me.
Sure. I mean, COVID proved that.
And so it's they want your money, and they know how to get it. So,
well, it is really something that it's hard to understand. We've all been involved. We've all got suckered in a lot of these things, like direct deposit or anything else. That's all just digits. But we got suckered into it because that's the way things went. But, you know, I bought some 1 ounce coins off you over the last several years, silver and gold, a few of them. And, you know, if I pick them up, they still weigh an ounce.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
You know, they didn't change any type of volume at all. Maybe they fluctuate some in dollar value, but they're still there. And I can pick them up, and they're tangible. And I know they're worth something because they're precious metals. That's what the Bible said to use for real money, folks, in your Bible, silver and gold. That's what sold Christ for, a third piece of silver. They didn't use paper back then. So that's just the way it is. So it's tangible. And I've had them, and they're still good. I can get them out and look at them. They haven't changed looks at all. If I want to sell a piece of them, I call Melody up and send it back to a few coins, get a check out of it. It still works. Well, the dollar isn't. It just isn't. It's falling apart. Different topic. Texas Governor Abbott says 300th bus of immigrants has been sent to Democrat-run state. Texas now sent around 300 buses of immigrants to predominantly Democrat-run areas of the country in the effort to deal with an influx of illegal aliens at their southern border. Abbott announced the latest transportation of illegal immigrants to the so-called sanctuary cities on Twitter on November 11th. The 300th bus of immigrants just left for Chicago, the Republican governor wrote. As President Joe Biden does nothing, Texas will continue taking unprecedented action to relieve our overwhelmed border communities and secure the border. A statement from Abbott's office on November 4th said that Texas has bused about almost 8,300 illegal immigrants to Washington, D.C. since April, over 3,500 in New York since August 5th, and more than 1,100 to Chicago since August 31st. As part of its efforts to secure the border. The governor's office says the busing mission is providing much-needed relief to our overwhelmed border communities. Abbott and other Republicans have criticized Biden's open border policies for creating a crisis. There have been record-breaking numbers of illegal immigrants attempting to enter the United States. Maybe this is harsh. Maybe this is a good question, but doesn't Abbott have a state guard? I think the state guard. You know, everybody has National Guard troops. Yeah. Wonder why they don't put them on the border and stop it. This is really a fair question. They're being invaded.
Well, you know what? That's what I couldn't figure out. Because I thought so, too. It's like, why are they just sending them up? Why aren't they doing it to keep them out of the state? Why are they even accepting them?
That's my question. It could be some more get through, of course. They're going to sneak through no matter what. But if you put enough border guard on, they're not going to have enough room to sneak through. And I know this sounds harsh, folks, but this is an invasion. It's killing our country economy, not this already. It's death throes. It's getting worse now that, according to this, Philadelphia is preparing for a potential bus of migrants from Texas also. So they're going to send a bus on to Philadelphia. They don't know exactly when. Said they expect 52 migrants on a bus from Del Rio, Texas, sometime this week. So I agree they should do this. I have no problem with that. But why don't they plug up the hole?
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, I just don't get it. Maybe I'm just not looking this right way. But it just doesn't make sense to me. If you got people coming into your home with the doors wide open, why not close the doors? I don't know. Melody, I think maybe we just are smart to figure this out on our own.
Well, I don't know what kind of, number one, I'm sure that these states get federal money. And they might have been, perhaps they were threatened that the federal money would be cut. Because that's what it always comes down to. It always comes down to money. So I'm sure that has a lot to do with it.
Well, I think I have a solution for that, too, but it takes guts to do it. I don't see any state doing it. Why not tell the feds from now on all the federal funds we collect stays in our state?
Yeah.
I mean, how's that for an idea? Mm-hmm. We'll take care of our own. You take care of yourself. But see, no one, they talk a good game. And against politics, they talk a good game. If they really want to do something about it, put the guard on the border, and keep the federal funds at home. Let them hold back on their federal funds for the highways and everything else, for the schools. Let the state fund itself, become a sovereign state again, independent from handouts. But you know what can I say? Well, they say, well, how about food stamps? The state can run that program also. Don't tell me they don't bring enough money in that goes to the federal government to cover that. The federal government is not going to give you, you pay for it already. Why not use it wisely? And the state could control where it goes even better and know who's milking the system and who isn't. You follow my point?
Well, yeah, I do.
So there you go. Maybe I should run for governor. No, anyway. And Washington attempts to bully India into cutting ties with Russia. Boy, aren't we mean. For months, the U.S. has repeatedly tried to coerce India into cutting ties with Russia, thereby abandoning its natural interest. National interest. New Delhi, however, continues to spur an American attempts to subject its economy to Washington dictates. The latest fuss concerns the G7 price cap on Russian oil and EU and UK bans on shipping and related services of Russian crude. India continues to have no interest in joining the U.S.-led initiative as it gets a steep discount on oil from Russia and wants to maintain the relationship with a longtime strategic partner. Indian Foreign Minister's Affairs Minister Jaishankar was just in Moscow on November 8th to discuss continued sales of oil. India's foreign minister held New Delhi's strong and steady relationship with Moscow on Tuesday during his first visit there since Russia invaded Ukraine in February. Jaishankar also declared India's intention to continue to buy Russian oil, again disregarding the U.S. appeal to allies and partners to isolate Russia from the global markets. They ain't going to do it, Melody. They're not going to do it. They're not going to cut their own throat.
No.
Because America is foolish enough to think we can do it.
Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, I thought I lost you there.
No, I'm right here. Migrants clash with French police in Dunkirk as they try to reach Britain. Migrants clashed with French police in Dunkirk area on Saturday, throwing rocks at officers as they were apparently preparing to try to reach the U.K. illegally. Footage filmed by Mark White of GB News showed violent scenes break out in the municipality of Gravelines near Dunkirk on Saturday. Hundreds of prospective illegal channel boats, migrants, many already wearing life jackets, were seen trying to repel French police by throwing rocks and sticks at the officers, who in turn fired tear gas towards the group. The tension reportedly flared up after French campaign's Republicans I'm not French. Officers has sliced inflatable lifeboats on the coast and prevented other migrants from setting sail to the U.K. They sliced the lifeboats so they couldn't go, so the riot broke out. But Kai strapped U.K. government to overspend on foreign aid by £1 billion due to migrants. Now listen, folks, listen to this. Supposedly Kai strapped British government currently preparing punishing tax hikes. See, who pays for this? The government can't pay for anything. They don't make anything. We pay for it. Pushing tax hikes and public service cuts to balance the books will overspend by about £1 billion on foreign aid due to migrants influx. So they're going to cut public services and raise taxes to pay for the migrants. This is U.S. dollars, around 0.47 billion of British government, 13 billion. Foreign aid budget is being spent on dealing with asylum seekers in Britain's itself, paying for them to enjoy free accommodations. Now, I said free accommodations in luxurious hotels while paying customers are booted out, for example, which is a permissible use of so-called official development assistance, ODA, to which the government has explicitly bound itself. While taxpayers might expect that this would mean Britain simply has less money literally made to endure, has less money to literally give away to other countries at a time when they are warm, they will be denied tax cuts and made to endure tax hikes, public service cuts, and a decline in real terms of income in order to tackle inflation and the cost of living and energy crisis. That's apparently not the case with the BBC reporting that spending will instead be allowed to go around £1 billion over the budget to make up the shortfall. There you go, Melody. Mm. We don't care about our own citizens.
No.
We'll cut their services and we'll tax them more to put these people in free housing in luxurious hotels. Probably places you and I can afford to stay very long. Oh.
You know, I know we're just about out of time. And, you know, I want to talk to you maybe on the next program we're together. Is, you know, I had some interesting conversations this weekend about, you know, and I saw some reports where, you know, people are thinking that all MAGNA, you know, make America great people again, or fascists. And it's like, but if it's just amazing how they're changing definitions and terms and so forth. Yes. It really is amazing. And these people believe it.
And what would you call a government that taxes people out of their house and home? Would you not call that fascist?
I mean, but it's, you know, and I had the top, I guess we're out of time. I got two minutes left. Yeah, and I had a conversation about abortion. And this person was trying to tell me that abortion, well, you know, they're not a person until they're born. Because all it is that there's the heartbeat is nothing more than an electrical beat. You know, it's electricity. It's creating the noise. So I looked it up online. And, of course, this is what comes up. It comes up with an article about saying how the heartbeat is nothing more, blah, blah, blah. And only they use the conservatives, the pro-life people use. I mean, it was just like, Butch, I don't understand these people's thinking. And
There's no reason with him.
But how do you overcome it? How do you have a conversation?
You really can't. That's the problem. No. You can't. You can't do it. I mean, no matter what you do, you're going to offend him. Telling the truth offends him. Trying to placate him makes him mad. You can't do anything to make him feel better. These people have lost all sense of reality. And that's just the way it is. But when they call us fascists, and when the government taxes people just pay for illegals, which one's a fascist? We want the people in our own country to eat and have a decent living. We don't want to feed them. What people come here breaking the law, and we're the fascist.
I mean, it's just really. And what irritates me the most is they're tagging me and folks, us.
Yeah. Yeah.
As like we're aliens and we're the most evil people on the planet and that we're stupid. They're the stupid ones. And it's just.
Oh, Melody. I love you. Keep going. We're out of time. Doggone it.
Yeah, we are out of time. Thank goodness, or I'll get my foot in. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.